Chapter 4. Drop 4, Drop the Pain, Reconnect with Your Higher Self. In Drops 1 and 2, we were battling to overcome the modes of ignorance and passion. In those drops, we learned the importance of keeping a cool head and seeing another's perspective. In Drop 3, goodness became prominent as we chose to stop blaming others and accepted responsibility for everything in our lives, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now in Drop 4, we move forward to realign with our highest intentions and to clear out any obstacles that may be still loitering in our path. But before we get started, I feel compelled at this point to share one of my deepest realizations about working with the 5-drop formula. It's so important that I've got to shout it out loud and clear. Don't skim over Drop 2, reflection. Yes, getting into reflection has to be the single most important ingredient for turning around any conflict. So if you skimmed over this drop and didn't really get there, you may find you have to revisit it until you do. My husband and I have found that sometimes we have to revisit Drop 2 a few times in the process of working to the other side of any conflict. You will know if you need to revert back to reflecting when there is still a lot of anger or frustration surrounding your issue. It's hard to move on to the next steps until you have understood how it is for the other person. This means getting into their shoes and really feeling how it is for them. Once Drop 2, reflection, is fully accomplished, you should feel a surge of optimism at the possibility of successfully working through your upset. Drop 3, accepting responsibility, also soothes and heals your conflict because it reassures both parties of seeing it through to the end. This inspires confidence in a mood of total commitment. Drop 3 then glides perfectly into Drop 4, where you get to let go of all your hurt and resentment and realign yourself and your relationship back to where you want it to be.
So what is a reconnect? Simply stated, reconnect means to align ourselves back to where we want to be in our life. Let's call it our higher self or our best self. In the relationship context, we often refer to it as getting back to that loving place. Unfortunately, for many people, that loving place may seem like light years away. This is because their relationship has become undermined by one of the biggest and most insidious pitfalls that can besiege any healthy relationship: unresolved issues, or as we prefer to call it, stuff under the rug. Stuff under the rug. Once we were counseling a couple in conflict, we had worked through the first 3 drops, pausing, reflecting, and accepting responsibility. They got that part easily. However, when we got to the concept of returning back to that loving place in the relationship, the wife began to look doubtful. "Well, I can't even remember that loving place. It seems so long ago." Her husband agreed, adding, "Yeah, that loving place, what does that look like? We just have so much resentment between us." This kind of response clearly indicates that the couple have amassed many unresolved issues. When you lack effective tools or strategies to deal with the constant stream of issues that surface in your relationship, the predictable default is to sweep them under the rug, where they begin to pile up, hidden but not cleared. Stuff under the rug is treacherous. You can pretend that it's gone away or that it's not really important, but it's simply amassing until one day the slightest issue trips you up and sparks a huge volcanic eruption. You scratch your head in bewilderment. How could such a small thing cause such a huge explosion? But remember, it isn't the small issues that cause the big reaction. It's the accumulated pile of unresolved issues that has led to such a hair trigger reaction.
Years ago, a close friend of mine shared that one day she made a casual comment, which she considered, in her own words, as not so earth-shattering. The reaction? Her calm and mellow husband picked up an object and hurled it at the wall. My friend was shocked at the raw anger of her husband, as well as the gaping hole in the wall. "What did I say that was so bad?" she asked. I knew her husband, normally a quiet and patient man who wouldn't hurt a fly. It was glaringly apparent to me that this couple had amassed a mountain of stuff under the rug for her husband to have reacted so explosively. In denial. Our unaddressed issues can develop into patterns that eat away at the very fiber of our relationships. All those seemingly minor ripples, those gnarly little issues that we face every day, can over time build into patterns of resentment. We think we are doing a great job when we smooth them over. Some of us even live in a selfish land of denial, where we choose to disconnect altogether from any issue that might come up. It's not my problem. A wife who had only been married for a couple of years was lamenting that the bliss period of her marriage had already ended. We used to be so happy, and now we are so often angry at each other. When I probed a little further, I could immediately detect the many repressed issues that this couple were reluctant to address. In this case, the husband was more in a denial mode. I have no problem with anything, he would say. It's just her. She has problems. No problems from my side. I'm fine. This doesn't even make sense, does it? It is hardly ever one person's problem in relationship issues. We learnt that in drop two, drop the vein. Besides, if your spouse has problems in your relationship, you do have problems, whether you like it or not. You wouldn't have to be an expert astrologer to know where this relationship could end up if they continue repressing and stuffing their issues under the rug.
Why am I so angry? Acknowledging the existence of all your unresolved conflicts gives you the answer as to why you feel such resentment, frustration, and anger towards your husband or wife. This is important. Over time, you have created these unhealthy behaviors which have morphed into patterns. The difference now is that when they come up, you will be equipped to effectively deal with them. Now, instead of focusing on what went wrong, you will have an effective set of tools and strategies that will enable you to diffuse the heat of an upset. This takes away the fear and helplessness and empowers you to keep your relationship clear and uncluttered.
What's your style? There are a myriad of ways and styles of sweeping your stuff under the rug. See if you can recognize any of these. 1. Avoidance. We just pretend nothing happened. We grin and bear it with a smile. Some of us don't even bother with the grin. We scowl and sulk and purse our lips, but still manage to shove it all under the rug. Actually, we don't want to touch the problem because we are too scared of it escalating into conflict. We have been there before and it wasn't pretty. It's not hard to see that such couples often drift apart due to a lack of authentic communication. Couples using this type of avoidance technique don't have effective ways to deal with their conflict, and they know it. Now, this was my style. My husband used to call me the Rock when I went into this mode. Avoidance conversations usually went something like this. Is anything wrong? Have I done something to upset you? No, nothing. Nothing's wrong. I'm fine. But you look a bit upset. I can feel something's not right. No, with a forced smile. I'm fine, really, I'm fine. This avoidance dialogue reminds me of the tongue-in-cheek advice to the male species called 5 Deadly Terms Used by a Woman. The vocabulary list below is floating around the internet with all sorts of variations, so we can't give it proper credit. However, it is amusing, relevant, and I for one can relate to it. When a woman says, fine. It is not fine at all. This is the word women use to end an argument when they are right and they think you need to zip it. nothing. The calm before the storm. This means something and you should be worried. Arguments that begin with nothing usually end in fine. Go ahead. This is a dare, not permission. Don't do it. That's okay. She wants to think long and hard before deciding how and when you will pay for your mistake. Whatever. A woman's way of saying, damn you. And bonus word, wow. Beware, this is not a compliment. She is amazed that one person could be so incredibly stupid. When I read this, I thought, that Mars and Venus guy was right. We really are from different planets.
Number two, helplessness. Here we acknowledge that there is a problem, but we can't or don't want to deal with it, so we settle for an uneasy truce. We feel the strain from the conflict pattern, but with unfounded optimism, we ignore it, hoping it will miraculously go away. We've counseled couples who live in this place. I remember one husband expressing distantly, "She can live her life, I will live mine. We leave each other alone and don't fight anymore." Actually, we hardly even talk anymore. "But we stay together for the sake of the children." Sounds noble, and the part about staying together deserves acknowledgement, but this type of relationship often disintegrates into resentment. Besides, do we really need to settle for just this? Number three, I win, you lose. Might is right. Someone wins through aggression or argumentative force, someone loses, if even just to keep the peace. The loser usually becomes the proverbial martyr. Unless we are genuinely more tolerant than a tree, this unexpressed resentment builds up and results in a relationship that is constantly tense. This situation is ripe for volcanic explosions.
I saw my parents play this one out, and it was not nice. My mother took the role of the martyr, while it seemed that my father always won. "Don't get Dad mad" was my mother's way of coping or keeping the peace, as she termed it. But our home was never peaceful. We could all feel the tension as soon as we walked through the door. This piled up resentment was tangible and seemed to constantly permeate the ether in our home. It killed my parents' marriage, even though they physically stayed together until we had all flown the nest. 4. Compromise. This one sounds healthy, and on the whole, it is generally a less volatile option. It even appears on the surface like a possible win-win solution. But in reality, the outcome is still predominantly lose-lose. We compromise to keep the peace, but are both secretly unsatisfied with the outcome. Still, we push on and end up settling for less. If the compromise is more on the lose-lose side, it generally doesn't last, as no one can keep it up for too long. This builds up resentment and frustration, and even more stuff gets swept under the rug. Counseling, your day in court. Quote, "Coming together is a beginning. Keeping together is progress. Working together is success." Henry Ford. A professional Christian counselor I once met shared the following with me. "In my 20 years of experience counseling couples, there are two things I never assume about both partners. One is that they are willing and able to see their contribution to problems, and two, that they have the emotional clarity to communicate objectively." Couples who have opted for counseling are always eager and ready to talk about their problems. Finally, they have someone to listen to them. They want it all out in the open, warts and all. They freely bring up their past difficulties, and what they especially crave is for someone to help them prove who was right and who was wrong. However, Despite having surrendered to a counseling process, many couples are still so volatile and desperate to be heard that they willingly use the counseling session itself as a blaming and shaming venue. When we observe that couples have entered this red-hot conflict zone, it clearly indicates that they have accumulated so much stuff under the rug that it has finally reached eruption point.
Drum roll, the good news. The impressive thing with the 5-drop formula is that you don't have to dredge up all your past issues and attempt to fix them, as many traditional therapists suggest. In fact, when you become proficient at using this formula, you won't ever need a counselor. Traditional therapists often encourage you to recapture your feelings, to get in touch with your emotions, and to identify all the compelling factors. You scrutinize and dissect your underlying dysfunctions. Unfortunately, this type of therapy has the tendency to culminate in some form of blame game. It often turns into a quest to prove who was right and who was wrong, or even who was more right or more wrong, if you get what I mean. So much time and trauma is involved, what to speak of the expense. And to top it all off, statistics show that this kind of therapy is generally not very effective. The magic formula. Move beyond the past. Forget the past that sleeps, nor in the future dwell at all. Be with times that are with thee, and progress ye shall call. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The mode of goodness, sattvagun, enters here again as a prime ingredient in this magic formula for dealing with what is happening right now in your relationship. You got tripped up. However, the conflict you are dealing with is only a temporary blip in eternity. Right now, at this moment, you have successfully worked together through the first 3 drops. You are now working in harmony. You have miraculously shifted from being in an upset to being calm. You have both practiced listening to each other and have shown empathy. You have stopped blaming and have accepted responsibility to do whatever it takes to come to the other side of the conflict. There is light at the end of the tunnel. You are now in the best possible position to reconnect with your best self, your higher self, the person you truly are. When you keep your focus on each successful step as you work together through the 5-drop formula, all the stuff amassed under the rug magically dissipates. You can then in that moment align with your positive intentions for each other and move on towards solving the conflict at hand. Start by celebrating and acknowledging each other for how far you have now come. And you'll learn more about how to do that and drop 5, pouring on the energy. Realize that what you have experienced is more likely a familiar conflict than has formed into a pattern over time. One that you have been unintentionally perpetuating. Feel reassured that you now have a process to deal effectively with each new issue that arises by going through the 5-drop rescue remedy steps. The 5-drop formula trains you to use the spiritual principle of focusing on the present and letting go of the past. Being fully present in each moment is extremely powerful.
Enter mindfulness. Although the popular term mindfulness sounds very Buddhist or Zen, it is the same principle Srila Prabhupada referred to as being conscious. In reality, we have complete freedom to consciously choose our state at every moment, and we get to write our own script every day. Conversely, we can just as easily choose a different way of being, hankering about the future or lamenting about the past. Bhagavad Gita advises us to stop this hankering and lamenting, na sochiti na kanchiti, Bhagavad Gita 18:54, and to access the mode of goodness, where we live in the present and make genuine and intentional progress. Develop your mindful muscles. Like every other human competency, the ability to function in a mindful or conscious way is something that takes proactive cultivation and consistent practice. You don't get physically fit by sitting around and waiting for it to happen. You need to take action. The more focused, precise and well-informed the action, the quicker you will get to where you want to be and the more lasting your results. It is the same with developing mindfulness. It is a muscle that needs to be toned and strengthened. Whenever any good result surfaces in personal relationships, invariably we find that mindfulness or the mode of goodness has been accessed in some way or other. Time and time again, I find myself coming to the realization that everything good, every worthy deed, every positive result, every wise thought or decision I make all spring from being able to access this mindfulness mode. Sounds so simple, doesn't it? In theory, it is simple, but to rise above the modes of ignorance and passion and to make mindfulness our new default setting is no small thing. Miracle spray or learned habit. Being able to access this mindful or conscious mode under all circumstances is more about the development of a learned habit than some miracle spray we pull out of our pocket. It often begins with the realization born from experiences that teach, inspire, and drive us into action. We learn valuable life lessons through both pain and through joy. In our conditioned state, we often choose to learn from suffering. Realizing that whenever we succumb to the lower modes, we inevitably end up in ignorance and distress is a vitally important component to conquering our negative patterns. However, acting upon this realization and being able to access a higher state of being requires constant practice and determination.
A few words of caution. Don't try and reconnect others. Reconnecting is very powerful. You will find it a great tool that you can use whenever you get off track. Just like a button on your computer, press your own personal reconnect button whenever you find yourself being the person you really don't want to be, the critical, blaming, negative person you want to change. Learn to reconnect with your higher self. This can develop into a wonderful, lifelong habit. However, there is a warning here. Do not try to reconnect others. We can only reconnect ourselves. When we try to force others to reconnect, they get the clear message that we are trying to fix or control them. This never works, and it usually invokes the old attack-defend response. Just imagine how this would go down. Prabhu, you know you overreacted there. I think you really need to reconnect your higher self. Versus. Okay, so now that I realize and understand where you're coming from, that's drop two, reflection, I think I need to reconnect to my higher way of being, and then we can work together to solve the problem. Just as in drop two, drop the vein, when we reflect on how it is for others, it inspires and encourages them to do the same. Similarly, when you reconnect with your higher self and get back on track, others feel safe and inspired to do likewise. Enter the third alternative. Because you've used reflection and empathy, and you're well on your way to realigning with your higher self, you are now in the best position and consciousness to work through the problem with what Srila Prabhupada termed a cool head. Now that you both refuse to play the blame game, the time is now ripe to put your heads together and come up with a solution, one that works for you both. Stephen Covey talks about solving problems using a brilliant concept called the third alternative. In any conflict, the first alternative is my way, and the second alternative is usually your way. The fight then boils down to a question of whose way is better. The third alternative moves beyond your way or my way to a higher and better way, one that allows both parties to emerge from even the most turbulent of conflicts in a far better place than either had envisioned. The beauty of the third alternative is that nobody has to give up anything, and everybody wins. This allows you to build strong relationships, still recognizing your diverse needs and wants. It's born from the attitude of winning together. This means that instead of always compromising, you intentionally work together to think up something that works really well for you both. It's about realizing you don't always have to settle for less when you are problem solving. I love the third alternative concept. It is so satisfying when you come up with creative solutions. It gets you out of that stagnated my way or your way place. You begin to realize that when you put your heads together, you can always come up with a third alternative that works beautifully for you both. Here's a typical everyday type of experience that illustrates how we have used the third alternative.
Our Brock Bin problem. We all have a cooking day in our extended family situation. We call our kitchen organic scrap bin the Brock Bin. This was named by my husband's 95-year-old Scottish mother. I think it may be short for broccoli, not sure, but that's what she called it and it just stuck. We decided that emptying the Brock Bin daily would work if we did it on our individual cooking days. Our Brock Bin is emptied into a large compost bin which lies about 20 meters from our house. This system worked well for a while until one day when I was emptying the Brock Bin, a huge rat jumped out of the compost and lunged straight at me. That was it for me. I just stopped emptying it on my day, hoping that no one would notice. Now my husband, who never misses a trick, did notice. I explained to him about the enormous rat whose size magically increased every time I talked about it. My husband knows me well. He did not even attempt to convince me to get over my rodent phobia. I suppose you could say that he empathized with my problem. Drop two, reflection. We brainstormed for a while, and I decided to work on a third alternative. We came up with the idea that if I would dry more dishes, which was his job, he would empty the bin on my cooking day. We were both more than satisfied with this solution. This is how easy it is. Problem, discuss alternatives, come up with something that suits you both, end of problem. As you may have already discerned, you don't have to be in conflict to use the third alternative strategy. It's a fantastic way of solving problems before they veer into conflict by creatively and proactively coming up with solutions that suit both parties. We are amazed at how quickly we can come up with a solution that suits us both. And as you become skilled in using all five drops of the relationship rescue remedy formula, coming up with your own creative alternative solutions will also become easier and easier. A word of warning at this point. Make sure it really is a third alternative and not a compromise. You can test the strength of your third alternative by asking each other, how would that work for you? Remember, the secret is to continue coming up with alternatives until you can totally affirm that the solution works well for both of you. The third alternative and the map story. You remember our map story from chapter 1. We finally laid that pattern to rest using the third alternative. You might remember how I was the lousy navigator and my husband the tense driver needing clear directions. This was a pattern we played out over many years. It was also one we didn't want to deal with, so we constantly stashed it under the rug. Well, if you have read this far, you now know what happens when you stash stuff under the rug, hoping that it will miraculously disappear. Think eruption, correct. One day, as we ambled down that well-trodden but rocky path, I exploded like the veritable volcano. I had a mini tantrum, and the street directory went flying into the back seat. I resigned as navigator on the spot and opened up the conflict. It was actually liberating to finally confront our dysfunctional pattern. I often wonder why it took us so long. Of course, we paused. My husband stopped the car and we sat there in complete silence for about 5 minutes. One of us managed to reflect first, and I can't remember who that was. What I do remember is finally confessing to possessing very little spatial intelligence. My husband also admitted to a lack of patience when the directions were not as clear as he would have liked. Once we had empathized and accepted responsibility, it was now time to work towards a third alternative. My husband volunteered that he would look up the directions to our destination before we left. His condition was that I would let him have as much time as he needed to do this. This suits my husband's disposition, as he hates being rushed. You may have already guessed that this was before GPS technology made our lives so much easier. We were both happy with our solution, and it works perfectly to this day. By the way, we still don't have a GPS. So now you can see how the third alternative works. Get creative and have fun with it. You will be amazed at how imaginative and innovative you can get.
Four drops done. Get ready to dive in. Now you have completed the first four drops of the relationship rescue remedy. This is all you really need to resolve your conflicts. So what is the need for a fifth drop? This last drop, which is often neglected or minimized, has the power to rebuild damaged relationships, as well as to nourish and strengthen even the best of relationships. So please dive into the next drop and splash it everywhere. Key points from Chapter 4, Drop the Pain. Reconnect with your higher self. 1. Don't skim over Drop 2, Reflection. Sometimes you may have to roll back to Drop 2, Reflection. You will know when you need to do this if you still sense some anger around your issue. 2. Reconnect, just like on your computer. Sounds easy. It is. If you have traveled this far in the five-drop process, this step will occur naturally, unless, of course, you still have stuff under the rug. 3. Can't get back to that loving place. It could be the stuff under the rug. When couples have become practiced at sweeping their issues under the rug, they may not even remember what that loving place was like. There's no need to worry about this. Now you do have the tools to successfully work through your issues instead of repressing them. Once you become practiced at clearing your issues, that loving place will reemerge. 4. No need to dredge up the past. Live in the now. The good news is that you don't need to drag up all your past issues and try to understand who was right and who was wrong. Just acknowledge and recognizing your dysfunctional patterns is enough. When your familiar conflict patterns attempt to rear their ugly heads and destroy the peace of your relationship, you will know just what to do. 5. Don't try to reconnect others. It doesn't work. No one wants to be fixed. We can only reconnect with our higher selves. And when we do it, it is powerful. It's just like racing to reflection. When you reconnect with your higher self, you open the door and make it easy for others to follow. And 6. The third alternative, a win-win solution. You can really have fun and get creative here to think up solutions to your problems. Remember to always test your third alternative by checking how well it will work for both of you. Don't forget to use the third alternative proactively whenever you find yourself differing in opinion. Ask the magic question. Is there a way we can solve this that will work really well for us both?